Good morning, brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a wonderful opportunity we have to be together today. I'm so excited to be here, as I always am every first day of the week. It's so great to see each and every one of us out today. We don't have many traveling today, so that's great to see some folks that have been on the road. Glad that God has answered our prayers and kept you safe. So it's glad to see each and every one of you out this morning. I'd like to mention that while I'm excited to see each and every one of you, I'm also excited to see a special guest that Alicia and I have in the audience with us this morning. We have the Hanbeck family visiting us from Columbia, Tennessee. They are our brothers and sisters in Christ who have been a great encouragement to me and Alicia for years. So thank you so much. They're like my second parents, and I'm so appreciative to see them and be encouraged by them this morning. This morning, as you'll see the title of the lesson behind me, What God Has Joined Together, certainly your mind is taking you to assume that, well, we might be talking about God's law on marriage this morning. Well, yes and no. First, I want to ask you to mentally answer this question this morning. Perhaps out of all the debates of Scripture, what seems to be the hottest contestant? As you think about all the different things that the brothers and sisters in Christ can disagree or have their different opinions on, what's one of the main things that people disagree on sometimes? As you think about that, there are more than one, certainly. There are few, but more often than not, a disagreement on Scripture seems to come from marriage, divorce, when speaking of Matthew 19 and other places in the Scripture. Seems like some people have what we may call a more conservative view. I'd like to simply call a conservative view just reading the words of God and following exactly what the New Testament teaches when it comes to marriage. Some have another view that might be a little more loose that says, well, we need to look at the New Testament, but we also need to look at our happiness too. We need to make sure that we follow God's law, but let's make sure that we stay happy and let's not just do anything that God's law says. Let's do a little bit of both. When it comes to marriage and divorce, most Christians in this room and everywhere are ready to stand up and give a defense of what we believe on Scripture. Seems like every one of us, if asked what we thought, at the drop of a hat, we'd be ready to talk to a friend, a family member, and tell them exactly what the New Testament says on marriage and divorce. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I fear that we don't have that same passion for all of the New Testament. We need to have the same passion that we do in speaking on marriage and divorce, on everything that God has joined together. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. I want us to look at, in the New Testament, there are too many to cover this morning, but at least for the time we have together, I just want us to look at four things that God has joined together. I want us to understand that when God has joined something together, it is not for us as His creation to change that. If God has joined something together, we need to leave it and we need to abide by it. The first thing I want to look at with you this morning, as we've already mentioned, we might as well start in Matthew chapter 19. God has joined together the husband and the wife. If you would please turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. I'd like to read with you verses 3 through 6. 3 through 6, this is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees about God's law on marriage. Matthew 19, 3 through 6 tells us, "The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?' And he answered and said to them, 'Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate.'" Let not man separate. I want to focus on that phrase for just a minute. Let not man separate. Do we understand what that means? Whether we're talking about marriage, two becoming one flesh, or we're talking about anything in the New Testament, what God has joined together,
let not man separate. That applies to anything. If God has spoken, He's spoken. We are to follow that. We are not to follow God's Word in addition to our own things, our own thoughts.
Let not man separate means simply what it says. Although many religious people find convenient ways to disregard Jesus' teaching here. Many today look at divorce to just a means to an end of a partnership that didn't work out. That's sad that people would see it that way. I want us to see this morning that there are certain things that God has placed together that we need to understand we are His creation. We didn't create Him, we follow His law, and we have no business separating what He has put together. The Word of God is our authority for everything in our lives. We must see that for marriage. We must see it for everything that we read. It's not our job as the created man to decide what we will keep together that God has taught us and what will separate because it doesn't seem right to us. We need to understand that when God speaks, when Jesus Christ speaks, we as Christians must follow the commands down to every single letter. Down every single letter. But what about Matthew chapter 19, verses 7 through 9? Some people that disagree with the fact that Matthew 19, 3 through 6 says, well, but wait a minute, Christian. If you'll read the words of Jesus, He says you can be divorced, and that's okay, and you can remarry and do whatever you want. Well, let's read together and see what Jesus says. Matthew chapter 19, verses 7 through 9. They said to Him, then why did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. When I read this verse, there's something that I want us to see here. From the beginning, it was not so. I want us to understand that what this verse means is that, yes, because we are human and we have hardness of heart and we sin from time to time, Moses did allow those to get divorced. But it was not so. That means in whatever God speaks, it is not for us to separate from the beginning. That's from the beginning of anything we read in the Old Testament, the New Testament. What God has said from the beginning of when He said it, it is not for us to break it. It goes on to say, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality. It's plain and simple. When we read Matthew 19, God's law on marriage and divorce, many of us know these things, so I just want to bring this to our attention this morning at the beginning of our lesson to understand. When God speaks, we follow. God is our authority. What He lays out, what He joins together, we are not to separate, and it does not matter what topic we are talking about. We need to understand that God has made us. We did not make Him. What's another thing this morning that we can see that God has joined together? We can see that God has joined together belief and baptism. If you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. God has joined together more things than just male and female. The wording may not say it the same way as Matthew 19 did, but if God put something together, we are not to separate. Belief and baptism is something that God placed together. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. This morning I want us to focus on this phrase, he who believes, and I've underscored, and is baptized will be saved. Too many people today try to read this verse and say, the "and is baptized," that's not as important. Many religious people in the world say, all you need to do to be saved is just believe. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Do you want to give your life over to Him? Then you're saved.
When we do that, we're separating what God has joined together. God has joined together belief and baptism saves. We cannot take one away from the other.
God formed how we can be cleansed of our sins. God joined together belief and baptism, and it's not for us to mess with His plan of salvation.
Why can we see this very principle when we talk about marriage and divorce, but we can't see it when it applies to other subjects in the Bible?
We need to understand that God joined together belief and baptism. It is not for us to decide that you can just believe to be saved without baptism, or that baptism is something that you should do later to show other people around you that you've already been saved.
God plainly says, Jesus plainly says, believes and is baptized.
What about Matthew chapter 28? Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus also says in this account, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age."
Amen.
Verse 20, I want us to see that He tells His disciples to teach everyone what? What does Jesus tell them to teach? He tells them to teach everything. The things that I've commanded you.
The things that I have commanded you. Not what men teach, what I have commanded you.
So what does Jesus teach here on how to become saved? In verse 19, He tells us how to be made disciples. He says to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We need to understand that belief and baptism were joined together by God, and man has no right to separate that. When God joins something together, when He tells us how to receive His grace, how to receive His mercy, that is how we follow.
We need to have the same amount of passion that we have against marriage and divorce, the same passion towards those who need to be saved. There are millions of people right now as we speak who believe that they are saved. They love God. They try to live their life for God, but they are not saved because man has separated belief and baptism. Belief is not enough to save us. We can believe all day long, but if we have not been baptized for the remission of our sins, then we are still a sinner.
God is showing together belief and baptism. Jesus tells us how to become disciples. It's not just through belief. It's through belief and to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Belief and baptism has been joined together by God. What's the third thing that God has joined together that we do not need to separate? How about faithfulness and a crown? Revelation chapter 2. You would please turn me to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. I'd like to read with you verses 8 through 10. 8 through 10. Jesus speaking to the different churches. He tells them exactly what they're doing wrong. He goes through and tells them what they need to do to correct things and what they need to do to inherit eternal life. Revelation chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, Jesus says, "And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of these things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulations 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you want to know how to receive eternal life and receive heaven, we must remain faithful until the very end.
We can read Revelation chapter 2. We understand that none of us are going to leave this place today in fear that we're going to be thrown in jail because we assembled together as Christians and we worshiped God. But can we not relate to the same things? Can we not relate to those making fun of us for being Christians? Those telling us we're wrong? Those other religious people out in the world saying, you follow the Scriptures too tightly. You don't have to do every single thing it says. You're just supposed to love God. Just love Him, believe in Him, try to be a good person, and that's all you need. That's not how it works.
This verse says that we must be faithful until death, and then we will be given the crown of life. Some religious groups believe that one's sins cannot condemn the soul.
Many religious people out in the world believe in something called once saved, always saved.
They believe it doesn't matter the way you live, you act, the way you talk, the way you have an attitude towards others. As long as you've been saved before, it doesn't matter how you are now. You're going to be saved forever. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's separating the Word of God. That's separating what God has joined together.
2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22 tells us, "For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness, and having known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them, but it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow, having washed, to her wallowing in the mire." We need to understand as Christians that we can fall from grace. We can be saved. We can believe and be baptized, but then not live according to the way God has us to live. We can fall from grace. We can lose the crown of life. Anyone who says that you cannot lose the crown of life once you've been saved is separating faithfulness and a crown of life.
A Christian is even warned, "Take heed lest he fall," in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 12.
I provided for you in your handout more verses that we can go to see this very thing in Hebrews. We have to watch the way that we live. As Christians, we can get too comfortable. We can think to ourselves, "I've been baptized. I'm a pretty good weekly attender to services. I'm pretty much a good person. I just have a little bit of sin over here. But overall, I'm a good person. I just do a couple sins a week. I ask for forgiveness, and I do them over and over and over, but I get forgiveness."
Take heed lest he fall. God has joined together faithfulness in a crown. We need to understand as Christians, we can fall from grace. There are things that we can do in our lives that can make us lose the crown of life, that can make us lose having an eternal home in heaven with God.
Faithfulness and a crown are something, two things that God has joined together. Let not us separate those two things.
Final thing I have for us this morning is death and the judgment. Death and the judgment.
If you would please turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9, the verses leading up to verses 26 through 28 is speaking to Jesus and the sacrifice He gave. And it speaks to the fact that Jesus doesn't need to come back to the earth to sacrifice Himself every year, as the priest would have had to have done in the most holy place. Jesus came to this earth and He gave a sacrifice once, and that is all that is needed. And from those thoughts, we'll pick up in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 26 through 28. "He then would have had to suffer once, often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the end of the ages. He has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, after this the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation."
We read these verses. I want us to consider this morning that there are a lot of things scripturally that many religious people try to separate.
There are way many more topics than just these four things we're covering this morning that many religious people tear apart, put back together the way they want them to appear.
But there is one thing that God has joined together, that it does not matter what different people believe, the death of our flesh and the coming of the judgment is going to come.
Every single one of us will lose our bodies and will be judged. It doesn't matter what you think about this. God warns us in the New Testament. He warns us that He loves us. He wants us to be saved. He's a loving God. He wants you to be in His family. He wants you to be a child of God. But He warns you, His love and His mercy will only go so far. There will be a day of judgment. God has joined together that we will all lose these physical bodies and we will be judged.
Those who falsely teach that there's no such thing as hell or punishment, they're going to have to deal with their decisions one day. Those who are Christians who currently live in a manner that is no longer afraid of eternal death, no longer afraid of hell, you'll have to live with that decision at the end of this life. No matter if we like it or not, no matter if we believe it or not, every one of us will lose our physical bodies and we will have to give an account for the actions that we have upon this earth. We need to understand that when we read the Bible, when we read the New Testament, the law that we live under now, the law of Christ, if God speaks, it is not for us to change it. If Jesus speaks, it is not for us to change it. Whether it be the law on marriage and divorce, whether it be the law of belief in baptism, is not for us to change. God has joined together such things as belief in baptism. We need to understand that there are hundreds, thousands, millions of people, perhaps, that have heard false teaching on belief in baptism. They have heard that all they need to do to be saved is just believe God is. Just believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then and there you are saved. You can be baptized later and it doesn't matter. We need to help people that have this false teaching. Nobody wants to have eternal death. Certainly someone who has already accepted God loves God. They just need to understand this very principle that if God has joined something together, be careful not to separate. Belief alone does not save. Belief and baptism saves. We also need to understand that faithfulness and a crown. There are many people that tell us that God has chosen certain people to be saved. If you're one of those lucky ones, then you're going to heaven. If you're not, then I'm sorry. There's nothing you can do that can ever take you to heaven. That's not what the New Testament tells us. The New Testament tells us we must be saved, then we must remain faithful. Let us as Christians watch ourselves. Just because we were saved 5, 10, 50 years ago does not mean we can't fall away. We have to continually, every single day, watch how we live. Watch how we read the Scriptures. Watch how we live by them. Make sure you're reading Scripture. Make sure you're getting that encouragement. Make sure you're living a faithful life. Again, finally, death and the judgment. That is something that no man can tear apart. You can say you don't believe it all you want. You will be judged at the end of this life. There's one final thing that I'd like to bring up to us this morning that God has joined together that no man can separate. That is the fact that God has joined together disobedience to His Word and eternal death. You need to understand this morning that it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter if you don't believe that. You need to understand that the New Testament, the Word of God, tells you if you are disobedient to His Word, if you do not come to Him and be saved the way He tells you to be saved, eternal punishment will go along with disobedience, and we cannot separate that. This morning, if you're not a child of God and you know what you need to do to be saved, understand that you are in a state of being lost. You're in a state of, you know God. You know Jesus. You know what they did for you.
but you have not yet obeyed. Why wait another day? You know what you need to do to be saved. You know that you need to believe and be baptized and live a faithful life until the end to receive heaven. If we can help you today, start your new life being saved in Christ through baptism. Let us help you now as we come and we stand and sing. Won't you come?